I am unashamed. What about you?
Well, the hunting report today was I got way more sleep than I did the last hunting day.
Did you go home straight from the podcast and did you just sleep it all the way through?
It got blurry halfway home. Everything got blurry. And I was just had both hands on the wheel thinking, stay in your lane, Jay.
Stay in your lane, bro.
And I remember walking in and Missy said something and I didn't even make it to the bed. I just laid down on the couch and now I have these two little dogs. You know, we have one who is our guard dog, Hazel. She looks a little rough, but she's tenacious. But now we have another one.
She's a yipper.
When Missy's grandma went on to be with the Lord, she had a little dog, so we've acquired that dog.
You adopted the dog.
We adopted the dog. And so now I got up on the couch and slept with those two dogs for about 4 hours. I literally laid down.
And you never moved.
Never moved. I opened my eyes. Of course, what you do is you always find a clock because I think that's why the Bible uses that death being falling asleep because you lose track of time in
especially
the
a hard sleep.
Yeah.
Like that.
Time doesn't pass by. So the first thing you do when you wake up is find the clock because I don't know how long I was out for. And I was like, whoa, 4 hours.
Yep.
Yeah, I tell that story on Sunday when I preached about I had my colonoscopy or colonscope, whatever they call it. And you know, it's like we talked about. I'm talking to the guy. We're talking about duck hunting. You know, he's the guy that anesthetist. You know, he's talking. He's you know knows about the family. We're talking about ducks. Blah blah blah. He said, "All right, but you about ready to do this thing?" I'm saying, "Yeah." And so I keep talking, and then it was just
an hour later.
I'm in another room. Yeah. You know, they roll me out. They've done everything.
How long did it seem to be to you?
It seemed like I looked up to keep the conversation going. I mean,
there's not even
that's the resurrection.
It's an hour of time.
I think so. That's why it says in the twinkling of an eye. How do you define twinkling?
Yeah.
When you fall asleep, if you're sleeping soundly, which that particular drug that was going into your veins, it puts you to sleep. But
what's amazing?
That could have been 10 years or 1,000 years.
Well, yeah, and look, he pushed the plunger. I mean, I saw him punch the plunger, but I mean, within seconds, when that hit my vein in my hand, I mean, you talking about some fast operate? I mean, I'm literally in a conversation.
Which actually is kudos to the medical profession.
Well, that's exactly right. And look,
pull that off and then bring you back to life.
And this is the kind that doesn't. Like
basically, you're dead.
The old days, you were loopy and all that, but now you come out, like, I looked around and I was a little groggy. But it was no long yellow effects.
Did you see a light?
I saw no light.
You know, that's what gets
I just
me.
Saw a nurse.
You know, I've had these people say that, you know, well, I've died 5 times. You know, I was on the operating table. It's so hard to know because when I got shot in the head as a kid, when the bullet exploded in the fire, I woke
which
up.
Which I still say it was an aerosol can, but we've had the argument for 40 years.
The doctor, who was not a hunter, I guess,
said
it was a bullet. He said it was the hull.
Oh, I see.
The hull of the bullet.
The bullet was in a fire.
The bullet went off.
Pow.
The hull.
I always thought it was
an aerosol. The hull is what takes off because the bullet, it still stays there because it's heavy. But the hull hit him inside the head.
It hit him right in the temple. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. I went down. Looks like potatoes.
It would have blinded you if it hit you in an eye.
Or could have killed you if it would have penetrated your...
I was thinking more of the death. death. Because he said... But I woke up on the operating table was my was
But
my
all
point.
Agree that you have a hard head.
Well, there's no doubt that's true.
It ricocheted off your head. Hard head.
I don't think so. You want to argue about it?
Well, I'm just saying that the .22 bullet hull pretty well...
What's weird is that same year, then I got pushed off the top bleacher. I had an altercation over a girl that I didn't like. And I had to go back to the hospital because now I had a, whatever grade concussion. And so my head hurt for a couple of weeks.
All growing up, Jace was the one that was always going to the hospital. I mean, the rest of it, we were all rough and tumble, but Jace was the only one that kept having all the injuries.
Take more risk.
They took a kidney stone out, and the guy said, "You fixed the field. Well, got a little warmth in your arm, Mr. Robinson, then you'll fall asleep." And he came toward me with that stuff, and I just closed my eyes, and then 1 second later to me, a millisecond later. I closed my eyes and I went, opened my eyes. I said, "Doc, let's get the show on the road here." And he said, "The show's over." And I said, "How long did that take?" He said, "1 hour." I said, "I finally understand the resurrection."
You'll never get that hour back either.
No.
It's gone.
You did, it's so, like it's almost wasted.
I said, that could have been 10 hours. It had been the same thing. I'd have closed my eyes. I'd open them.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Well, that's true.
There was no time passing. That's the resurrection.
And we say that for comfort with people. We'll say, you know.
It's not like you're twirling your fingers.
We'll say somebody passes on, and we like to think of them being with, reconnected with people. And
oh, yeah.
Those are all comforting thoughts. But really and truly, more than likely, it's a sleep and awake.
That's right.
I agree. So what I was going to say
I think that's why Jesus said, whoever lives and believes in me will never die.
Right.
You're thinking, well, he's gone.
Right.
No, he hasn't gone anywhere.
Well, I mean, we're going to probably talk about that today anyway, because he interjected himself, Jesus did, into time.
Correct.
So we're going to be in John 13 today, but the first sentence says, the hour has come, the time has come.
Right.
He knew the time had come. Well, if you say that, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, because it means something, but it means like, okay, I was going to do something. I had a plan. Now the time's come. But think about a being existed above time,
outside time,
now becoming a human, saying, just using the words.
I'm not saying he's interjected into time. I'm saying he is time. He is the author of time.
Well, right. But he became a man. Because then he says, I'm going back to the Father. So he became a
amazingly,
time
which is why he said he lowered
being.
Himself.
Amazingly, right. When he did that, he became the world's marker of time.
That's right.
That's why they say all the years before him, we're going to call those, how will we word that? We'll have to say they were all the world time before him. All the days before him were all
before
the days
before the common era.
And when he arrived, all the years after him, that'll be A.D. But the atheists didn't like it. They tried to say, well, common era.
And it's actually off.
But it all goes back to his marker.
That's
it's
right.
Actually off 3 or 4 years. But I'm like, you know, in the span of eternity, 3 or 4 years seems like nothing.
No big deal.
So you can do your research on that if you want to check me out on that. But what I was going to say, so we got up this morning. The teal report, because teal move in mass. Yesterday,
sporadically.
Yesterday, I believe maybe, you know, just could have been an almighty saying. Here you go. Here's some teal, because we only saw one bunch yesterday, but we got them. Today we saw nothing. We watched the sunrise.
Yep.
But Arkansas season opened today. So we were optimistic, and we stayed later because we thought, how long does it take? We had a huge debate on how long does it take a teal to fly from Arkansas to our duck blind.
Well, they fly about 70 miles an hour.
Well, Si, but you're getting that from Si. Si said a teal flies 70 miles an hour, and I thought he had read that in an encyclopedia.
Me too.
Today, he told us how he determined that. He said, no, I drive in Alabama. And he said, I looked outside the window, and there was a green-winged teal flying, synchronized, you know. Yeah. I mean, he didn't say that. I think he, like, said shank-ni-rise, and I said, synchronized? Yeah. Flying eye level to his vehicle. So he started pushing the gas and letting off, trying to determine how fast a green-winged teal flies. And he said, when I got to 70 and sped up and slowed down, I said, nope, that's it. So I was like, really? I said, he just married you for that amount of time? And he said, yep. So anyway.
Well, you can't spell science without Si.
We, our best guess was 20 to 30 minutes, depending on what part of the state in Arkansas you were. I know people who hunt in Wilmot, Arkansas, which is, if you drove to Wilmot, what is that, an hour?
Yep.
So how long would it take a group of teal?
Well, according to
20 minutes, 25.
That's what I thought. So we stayed a little later just in case the northern Arkansas birds got flustered. But you know what? Didn't see anything. So on the way out, we had something interesting happen. The last 2 days on the way out, we've had something interesting. The first day we were going, and you know, our cottonmouths water moccasins here, they look like monsters.
Oh, they're huge.
And Jay sped up. So I'm like, yo, everybody, what are we doing? I'm in the back of the little, whatever they call them now, ATV. And he goes up, he's getting his pistol out. And I look up, and it's a monster. I mean, it looked like a monster. So I'm trying to reach my shotgun, but I can't because he's
one of them big, thick.
Big, thick, but he's moving toward the grass, real thick grass. Yeah. So Jay gets out his pistol. I mean, Jay's in the military. You would think, I've seen him do this before. Rapid fire. He shot the whole clip in the quickest amount of time possible. And so the snake keeps crawling in the grass. I get my shotgun out, but now he's scaring him off into the grass. He said, oh, I got him. I said, well, we'll see. He said, what do you mean? I said, pull over in the grass, because if you got him, he'll be laying there. He said, no, I put a bullet in him. There was one big patch of grass. We went over and over that grass for 30 minutes. No sign of him. So he either went in a hole in the ground or hit the grass and, you know, while during all the confusion.
That sounds more like it.
But I know one thing. You didn't get him. Because if you did, he'd have been laying there dead, or I'd have seen some blood.
Be waiting on you in the morning.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So today we're driving out, same path. Speed up again. Here we go. But he didn't grab his gun.
So you're thinking another snake.
Yeah, I thought it was a snake. Well, he grabbed his phone. He's getting out. I'm like, what are we doing? Because he didn't have a gun. He grabbed his phone. He said, there was a deer standing here. We had just planted a field. He said, there was a deer standing here in the field. I said, well, he ran off. He said, no, he just went down. I said, what? And he was looking like right by us. So I got my camera out. I was filming him. He was filming because he said, there's a deer laying here. And the more he walked, I thought, I don't believe it. Why isn't he getting up? He got 5 feet from that deer, and that deer jumped up, like to hit him in the chin, and took off running.
Have you seen his footage of it, from his perspective? Because I thought that looked pretty cool.
Well, he was a lot closer
I saw yours, you know, filming him, but I bet that looked pretty cool. It was just a little bitty.
It was incredible that a deer, at an early age, he just didn't think he could outrun. You know, we crowded him, and he thought, there's too long to go to get to the thicket, so let me just. And the grass is not this tall.
You wonder why they seem to disappear. They just drop down, and you're sitting there. See, you think, what in the world happened to him?
That's right.
Oh, you know what's funny is, because Jay got to where they thought he was. So I said, no, he belly crawled out to the woods. I thought, no, I don't believe that. I see old deer on his belly, you know. Said,
just kind of hunkered down going out. Well, he comes up with some stuff, doesn't he?
So that was the teal report. The deal with teal is you got to go every day because they're only going to move, what would you say, 2 to 3 days?
Over the course of two
days.
It's a 2 week season, and you probably have 2 or 3 hunts.
They go in spurts.
Decent.
They go in spurts.
I mean, there is the occasional stray bunch, which is what we got yesterday.
Right.
Y'all had 3 singles Sunday, which who knows what that means. That is kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But it's usually they come in mass.
I remember a few years ago, the last day, the last Saturday, we got into them.
Well, it ends on Sunday.
Well, it was the last day, right, other than Sunday. But we remember that when old Bob DeMoss was here?
Yep.
And, I mean, it was like 2 or 3 huge bunches came by, and we just pop, 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 pop. We had like 7 or 8 people.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, we were done. They were still just coming, and, I mean, we were picking up our dogs.
Remember when we had the guests that year? It was like 5 years ago. They were not hunters, which I was completely against this. I thought they were undercover federal agents or, you know, some kind of sting operation. It was like, no, come on. They were like, said, we're there. You know, we like to experience nature and adventure. And they love the Lord, which is why we allowed it. They just wanted to take pictures of us hunting.
And they never had been hunting.
They had never been hunting. And it was 4 or 5 of them. I mean, like 2 or 3 women, 2 or 3 guys. So they're out there in the way the entire time taking pictures. Well, it was one of the greatest teal flights ever. And we're just bum, 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 bum.
That's the same one I'm talking about.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, that was Bob.
And they were like,
they were a film crew, and we were doing something for Dad's books or something. Yeah. We were doing something. That's why they were out there.
They were like, well, you know, boy, do y'all have fun like this? I was like, this happens about once every 10 years. I mean, they fly in mass usually.
So they think it's like that every time we go out there.
Well, but, two or three times a season, but this was like extraordinary. It, remember, it was like huge.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was
the tail was so big, bunches. They were making a lot of wind sound.
Oh my goodness! You know, it was 75 and 100
like
in a bunch.
Jets lining.
Let's take a quick break. So I guess you would say, as hunters, preparedness, to be prepared for a hunting season, it's a pretty big deal, right? I mean,
it is a constant.
Because you got to be when you're not, you and now Jay as well, when you guys are not hunting, you're preparing
year round.
It's a year round process. In the old days, you know, you just go out, hey, what day is it?
Never stop.
So one of our sponsors understands this concept. It's called My Patriot Supply, and their deal is about preparedness. And, of course, I have to say, these guys had a great product. All of a sudden, you got a coronavirus, and you're worried about the food chain supplies and all this. If you had a few of these puppies, they last 25 years. That's how long.
You need, Al, what I've noticed, you need food and water.
Got to have them.
Have to have them.
Pretty much got to have that to make it. And some of the things that are in here, here's traveler's stew. You got your stew right there. There's your food. What do you add? Your water. So there's the two things you need. You can eat.
Yeah.
Coronavirus, whatever's going on.
But you could actually eat your traveler's stew at home.
That's right.
You don't have to travel anywhere.
You don't have to travel.
That's called
It travels to you. In fact, you can build your own emergency food supply. They're going to ship it straight to your door. And you're going to be ready. So we want you to be prepared. You visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
So why go out on an empty stomach?
Exactly. You don't have to travel, but you got travelers too coming to you. MyPatriotSupply.com. Check them out. And well, but you've forgotten the worst part of the story. So that morning, we had confusion. So Lyle Sinke was our cameraman back then. Well, this other crew shows up, so he decides not to go film it, which none of us knew that he didn't come because he normally goes on his own and sets up. Mm-hmm. So the greatest teal hunt we've had in years, and
ever.
They were filming, just kind of the general stuff. They were mainly there to film after the hunt.
They weren't filming, Al. They were just taking pictures.
No, they filmed some.
Well, where's the footage?
Well, they didn't get any because they don't know what they're doing. They were there to film Dad after
the hunt. When I said, where's the footage, they told me.
Because they had a drone and all
this
stuff.
One of the women told me, oh, we just took pictures.
They did, but one of them was filming, but he didn't get anything. Like, they're behind the blind. So what I'm saying is, Lyle didn't show up, and we didn't get it on for us on camera. And, Dad was so mad about that because you thought he was filming the whole time. So we get back, and we're like, hey, let's see the footage. And then somebody said, oh, Lyle didn't go. And Dad was so hot. Get Sinky on the phone.
Well, the guy yesterday, the duck commander sent a camera guy, and he actually got the bunch. It actually looked better because we let two get away, which is, I thought, unfortunate. I felt we should have killed them all. And because, if you're real efficient, you shoot into less bunches, which is the go. If you just wipe out the whole little colony, nobody's hurt.
Right.
I mean, except the ones that were in the colony.
Right.
But you didn't educate all the others. So we try to be as efficient. And you don't know. It may be. Last year, we had a stretch. What was it? 9 days?
Yep.
We had 9 days. We didn't see a teal.
Yeah.
That's borderline insanity. Keep doing the same thing, expecting different results.
That's exactly right.
So before we read John 13, y'all know that I'm constantly on the prowl for what I find fascinating about the world is that they will use Jesus concepts to try to take your money. And I've gone through this many times. And whenever I see a product, I'll share it with our listeners. You know, I did the whole deal about Angel Soft and that's toilet paper. How do you know how soft Angel Soft is? See what I mean? And then Charmin, they said, oh, no, how are we going to compete with Angel Softness? I know, Bob. Let's come out with the Eternal Roll. It'll last them a month. So that was a joke because you see the hypocrisy. Because you want, when people hear the word eternity.
Jason really thought out
Jason,
this.
You're diving in deep on these commercials.
I mean,
no,
he's like.
I'm making a point. I don't like it.
It's a pretty good point.
When you're deceiving me to get my money, you're going to produce some kind of eternal reward. Only Jesus can do that. And you may scoff at the idea of Jesus. You call that a fairy tale. But when you want to take some money, guess what? You borrow some of his qualities so people will buy your, I was going to say crap, but the stuff, you know, toilet paper, same difference. And so.
I'll give you another one, universal health care.
There you go.
Here's another one. You heard that phrase. Universal. No, that's not just health care in America. That's the whole planet and the universe.
Well, that's the health care Jesus gives you. They're just trying to sell whatever.
Same thing. But you don't notice it unless you start looking for it. And I see them all the time. But then on the other side of that coin, you also have companies that are deceiving you. And I'll give you, for instance, because you say, what's the first thing you think of when you hear Motel 6? Now, don't try to answer correctly. What's the first thing you hear? I mean, what's the first thing you think?
We'll leave the light on for you.
We'll leave the light on for you. Well, here's the first thing I think of.
The last one I stayed at, you would have needed a light all night long because you're talking about they partied all night, hollering, few shots fired. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Well, so they did leave the light on for that.
All right. So you said, well, do you know what that means, Motel 6?
I have no idea.
When the company was started, it was $6 to stay at the motel.
Have they raised that since?
No, when you drive by, I drove by one the other night when we were coming home from the event. Guess what it says?
$39.99.
No, it says Motel 6, which is deceiving because it's no longer $6. Not going to get you anything. It ain't going to get you in the door. And right under the $6, it said like $53.99.
Yeah, whatever.
Now, here's me. I'm thinking, why are we deceiving? Why didn't we have a rebranding? Take the six that it used to be, which is what you're representing. That's what the company was
Motel building. 53.
No, add it to the $53.99 plus a penny and call it Motel 60. And be honest. Or take the six down and just have it what the rate is. We're Motel, what the number's constantly changing. So that bothers me. I'll tell you another one. Here's another one. So I see a sign. I'm like, good grief. I didn't know 7-Eleven was still in business. Do you know what 7-Eleven means?
Open up at 7 and shut down at 11.
Okay? Yep. Now, and do you know when they open up and close now? It's not 7-Eleven.
It's 24-7 now.
See, I have a problem with that. I'm like, why are you still calling yourself that? To me, that's deceiving. Or it's just, are you fearful that you made a mistake in the beginning by naming yourself that and you didn't stick to it? I mean, I ain't going in there.
It's been years since I made a 7-Eleven.
You remember the one that used to be where David Owens' fishing shop is now? That was a 7-Eleven, remember?
Yep.
And when we would go hunting, you would always stop there and we'd get, you know, coffee and donuts and stuff like that to take with us at the duck blind. We were there at 2 in the morning, but they were 24/7 then, because remember, we used to leave early to drive all the way up.
See, here's what's so...
We don't have any more here.
Here's what's so hypocritical about the whole deal. So after Motel 6 opens, then we had another business open, and they're called Super 8. Same thing. You stay here for $8. Now, you see the obvious problems here. Number one, there's already somebody saying they'll do it for $6. But they knew they wasn't doing it for $6 because they came after. So they're like, you come here, we'll do it for $8.
Yeah.
And so that was their whole business model. But guess what happened? Time went by, and now they're both lying. I just can't believe our society, and most people are like y'all, they're like, well, I didn't even know.
Well, yeah, I have to admit, I haven't, that doesn't bother me. I mean...
So when you
now
combine,
that you brought it up,
when
I
you
said,
combine
well.
What I'm saying is, there is a real problem finding truth in this life outside of Jesus and what we discuss right here.
That is correct.
Because most people are after the mighty dollar, and they will do whatever it takes to get yours. And when you start analyzing what they're doing, you start saying, and they're borrowing the spiritual principles in their marketing.
Yep.
And then they're coming up with dumb ideas. You know, you stay here for $6. That worked for a couple of months. But when you got to 10, don't you know people are saying, well, why are you calling yourself Motel 6? Because I know it didn't go from 66 to 54. When it was 10, I'm like, what happened to this 6 stuff? So no. It caused all those problems, and nobody would step up and make a decision and say, you know what? Take off the six.
If they had just had you there back when people even knew what that meant, because to be honest with you, most people have no idea what Motel 6, what that even means. I mean, they don't understand what the six
was. Well, because I'm the type of guy, I'm telling you, when somebody's selling something, I want to see what exactly are you selling.
Well, I admit, when you're around marketing people, you know, I mean, they are, it's everything is about brand names and all these different things. I mean, sometimes they can take a product that's not very good and really make it look good. I mean, that's they're masters at that. So you're right. At the core of it, either a product is good or it isn't. You don't want to market bad stuff. I remember Dad saying when there were some stores around here that had some cheap stuff in them, you get stuff, and they're like, well, we got you once because you bought these shirts that tore up, you know, after you wore them one time. And you were like, you'll never stay in business like that if your product is no good. And you were right. Yeah. They went out of business.
That's right.
Well, and my point is, you know, we're going to read this in John 13, which is you're seeing a side of Jesus that's really shocking because he's getting down into the full extent of his love and displaying it in one of the greatest acts of service for, you know, if you believe Jesus is the creator of the universe, became a man, the idea with all this power, you just raised Lazarus from the dead and he's doing miracles, that you're going to wash the dirty feet of your creation who are flawed and sinful. I mean, it's amazing.
It is. Let's take a break and we'll set the stage. So one of the things, one of our longtime sponsors has been a group called Keeps, and their whole thing is about helping men primarily, I guess, and women, keep their hair. Your hair starts falling out.
And you keep your drains clean.
Keep the drains clean, you know, because we've had issues with that because, you know, we got a hairy family, you know. Yeah. I mean, you guys got a lot of hair.
I think maybe they chose us because they're like, look at all this hair.
That's right.
You need to keep a hold of that.
That's right. You want to look like these guys.
It does come in handy.
It does. So we want you guys to check it out if this is something that you need. Basically, you go to their website, which is Keeps, KEEPS.com, and it's /door. You get 50% off your first order for these hair loss treatments. So check these guys out, Keeps.com/door. That's Keeps.com/door, and keep your hair.
And then you realize that he washed Judas's feet. And the reason I was bringing up this idea about deceit is most of us, we think of the evil and we think that it's really easy to pick up on where and how the evil one works. But deceit is one of his biggest tools. And here's a guy, you would think Judas at some point following Jesus for 3 years would have said, what am I doing here?
Right.
How could you be that close? Well, you get deceived, and you can be that close to the truth, the human embodiment of it, and miss it.
Yeah.
Of course, what he missed it
on? God, the father of truth. Satan, the father of lies.
Yeah.
So you have two opposing powers. One is the truth,
right?
And one is a big lie. His native language, when he speaks his native language, he's lying.
Right. So the setting the stage for this, just for everybody that's been studying along here with us, we told you at the beginning, of course, it's been a while now, that John, he had a little bit different. All the other Gospels, they kind of hit the whole chronology of Jesus' three-year ministry. Mm-hmm. So they're spread out over time. John kind of zeroes in right at the end. You know, he was different how he told the story. And so where we're getting at in terms of where Jesus is, this is where we're beginning in John 13, is the night before he's going to be arrested.
Yeah.
So we're right here at the end, even though there's going to be several chapters, because this is an amazing night, because not only what we're about to share, but you get to 14, 15, 16, 17, Jesus does some of his most amazing teaching to me, because he's given the disciples the last blast, because he knows it's
well,
fixing to be
and I think you remember that when we started, we said that there's three principles, characteristics of Jesus that you'll see in the book of John. They all happen to start with L, which was not something we planned. It just from the first chapter, you see it. And up until this chapter, he's mainly stressed being light, you know, spiritually and physically, I guess, because he created all, and life. And he's proven that through the miracles, the resurrection, and that being the discussion. Well, here, he seems to zero in on love. You know, because after he does this, just jumping ahead, he on the practical application of what he just said, he said, a new command I give you, love one another. That's 13, 34, and 35, which is famous verses. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't be, here's created a universe, became a man, didn't just preach a sermon about it. I mean, because you can imagine the tension. Here's a guy doing miracles who's fascinating, and all of a sudden you see him getting a bowl and a towel, because they were probably thinking in that moment, what's he doing? Because, you know, which was not unlike any other time, whatever he was doing. And then he starts washing their feet. And of course, and that's why the first response was, no, you shall never, you know, Peter, like, you shall never wash my feet.
That's right.
Of course, then Jesus is like, well, you're out then. Oh, okay, well, here's my hands.
Well, he said, just if you're going to wash me, wash the whole body. And Jesus said, well, you can take a bath for that. This is something different. You know, right. He's trying to get these principles across. But you talked about, Jace, last time, we were at the end of John 12, you know, when you mentioned the ones that the leaders that believed in him, but they wouldn't speak out in their belief because they'd get kicked out of the synagogue.
And it says out of fear.
They were more fearful about getting praise from men than praising God. And it's just what you said. Those guys had just seen Lazarus raised from the dead. Yeah. You'd think that would lock anybody in forever, but it didn't. They still in their disbelief. So what was interesting about the setting here, it starts out in verse 1, that this was the Passover feast. Now, I find this fascinating because the Jewish people had been doing Passover, you know, for a long, long time. The idea that it goes back to when Moses led them out of
Egypt. I brought that up the week you weren't here. The parallel from a timing standpoint from Exodus 12 to when Jesus was eventually crucified and how many days they went. A brother shared, Perky, who we both know, he put that on me, and I was like, you know, I never noticed that. And so he was representing the lamb, the Passover lamb.
This would literally be the last Passover ever needed because Jesus now is that lamb, that's what he called himself, to sacrifice himself for the world. And then we know it from Hebrews, he was also the high priest. So he was everything, like he was the whole kit and caboodle. You know?
And by the way, how did John the Baptist know that in chapter 1 of John, when he saw Jesus, he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How do you know that? I've always found that fascinating. I mean, he did that 12 chapters, and he's no longer with us now. He's lost his head this point for his faith. But it's fascinating.
Which, by the way, the Daryl from the Just Thinking guys, I thought it was a fascinating point. He made a fascinating point about, you know, why didn't Jesus go? If we're so worried about social justice, why didn't he go get John the Baptist out of prison? Why did he let him stay in there and lose his head? It's not about here. I thought that.
You
was
know
a,
what?
I
when
was
he was talking
point.
Too, I thought about the passage where Paul said, "I've been beaten with rods three times. I was shipwrecked. I've been stoned. I had the 40 lashes minus one." That's in Corinthians. Read.
Why do bad things happen to good people?
Yeah. Well, why didn't God step in and? And we've said before, every major character but John died a martyr's death.
Do you remember what Jesus told Paul when he first was converted after he blinded him? He said, he will find out. He told Ananias, he said, he will find out how much he will suffer for my name.
Yeah.
I mean, so Paul, he was going to have it rough. I mean, he knew it going in. Ananias was like, woo. Of course, Ananias was afraid of him, you know, but he was like, so when he lists all that stuff that happened to him.
Yeah, that was in 2 Corinthians 11. I just want to tell you where it was.
Right.
But, and you read that, and I love it because he got to the end and he's like, because they were boasting about their things, you know, what they had to give up. And he's like, you want to boast? And he went through all that. And he's like, and who's not led into sin and I don't inwardly burn? I mean, he's like, I'm out here getting whooped, trying to do us right. You're in here complaining about your little problems. He's like, it just burns my bacon.
And look, he got it from all sides.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jews were after him. The Romans were after him. The Christians were after him early, you know, until he proved himself who he was. Let's take another break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
Well, if you read chapter 13, he said he knew that the time had come, and I'd already mentioned that, which is a big deal for a person who's eternal, who became a man and volunteered to come down here because of the same love that he was fixed to show. And it said it had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father, having loved, and that's why I brought up love, because he's going to show you the full extent of his love. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Some versions say, like, his love to the uttermost. And so you're like, he's fixed to show himself what really, you get a window into the depth of God's love. I love Paul also speaking that in Ephesians 3 when he said he prayed for the Ephesians that they could understand how high and long and deep
and wide.
And wide was the love of
Ephesians
Christ.
3:14.
That's why when you read this, I mean, this is kind of an emotional. I've seen a lot of people when a sermon is preached on this, it become emotional because you think the creator of the universe going down to his knees and despite our wickedness and our sin and our filth, it just, there's something moving about him doing this.
Well, that's a huge point. This is when you say the full extent of the love of God, and then you're right, when he's saying, think about this, this is the one who created the universe, God, in a human body, as a man now, he's God and man, and he's down on his knees with these guys who quite frankly have not gotten it.
And he knew they were all sinful men.
Exactly, including the one who would betray him is part of the group too. So I think it does. It's hard for us to even wrap our brain around that.
Yeah.
As to how
that's why you
much
can't
he loves
go
us.
Around and be and you can speak out against it, but you're at the end of the day, you're going to be required to love sinful men.
Yes, and even your enemies.
Well,
even your
enemies. That's what he did. It says in verse 2, the eating meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, but through deceit and the love of money.
That's right.
The son of Simon to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, which shows you the voluntary nature of what Jesus did.
Correct.
What it shows you is how meticulously this was all planned out.
This was the plan. To the plan.
That's meticulous right. Details.
Oh, down to everything. Which
down to all the fulfillment of all the prophecy, not a bone would be broken, right. Or pick your prophecy that he fulfilled, which is amazing.
It's so like 700 of them.
So, and here's the point I want to make. Here's what I realized. And someone shared this with me. I didn't think of this myself, but I thought, you know, they're right. Because most of the time when we talk about John 13, we go to the practical application, which means we should be servants, which is very hard for macho men. I mean, I'm considering us in that camp. We're pretty egomaniac machoers. it's just hard to do something like this. The very idea of it makes my skin crawl. If I'm like, let me go wash your feet. I mean, it's just not. I'm a germaphobe already. We're in the coronavirus. I ain't washing your feet.
During this day and age, Jace, they were a little lacking with things like bars of soap.
Well, right.
To kind of help.
Well, think about it. They're walking around. You've been to Israel. You're walking around over there in sandals.
Yeah.
I mean.
This is mainly just, you know, old, you imagine walking around. You got our sandals on, but you're walking around.
And just because we got a lot of people that don't know a lot about the Bible that watch our podcast, so and listen. So I'll tell you, I mean, one of the customs, and we see this throughout the Gospels a lot, was that when you came to somebody's house, one of the things they did was, you know, wash your feet, or usually had a servant wash your feet. Mm-hmm. And so there's, you know, Jesus has had some discussions about this before. Yeah. So, and the reason why is this, it's like a welcome. You know, we would say maybe take your shoes off or. I don't know.
At best, a lot of dust on your feet.
Well, right. So it was a custom, mm-hmm. you know, that they would understand more than we would. You're right. I think your people do foot washing.
Well, but he was making a practical application, and here's what I was going to tell you, what I think that this, what he was doing. This was a shadow of what the cross was going to be. And here's why I think that. Because it says, so he got up, verse 4, from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, if you just stop and think about this, he didn't tell anybody what to do. He did all of it himself. And what was the goal? Cleansing. If you look at it from a physical thing. And so if you think about it, you know what? You can't spiritually cleanse yourself. He does the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it meticulously says he did it all. He didn't say, come help me with it, because there is no help for what this is representing. So when you think about it, if Jesus doesn't do the cleansing, what? You're filthy.
Yep.
And that's why when he said, Peter said, well, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize what I'm doing, but later you will understand.
Right.
So I think when he gets to the cross, they look back and say, oh,
I couldn't
cleanse myself.
He sets you free by cleansing you and from Satan. He's already said that. Now's the time, in John 12, now's the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. Mm-hmm. And he's beginning to show them what's fixing to happen, and he says, I'm going to wash you. I'm going to wash you.
I think it
free
was
you, cleanse you
it.
From Satan, sin, guilt,
see, I think it was
law,
a physical,
the grave. I mean,
yeah, I think it was a physical analogy based on love, that something their culture did frequently a lot, but it took him a servant spirit to do. It's nasty and nobody wants to do it. But it was representing the cleansing that Jesus provides. I think that's why he did every step of it. And that's why when he made these statements, they make more sense. Because he said, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Because you think about it. If you don't have Jesus' cleansing, Jesus is nothing. You have nothing.
That's right.
You're dead. You're hopeless. So that's why it seems like a kind of a bold statement to say, well, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. I mean, you're like, well, why is this such a deal breaker? Because he was shadowing what happens at the cross.
Let's take one last break. And also, just at a practical level, he was showing them how to lead once he was gone. Because he says later, this is the new command, love one another. And he says in other places, this is what you do. This is how you lead. So he's wanting them to understand that once he's gone, they're going to understand better. And then they're going to know, because he's literally, they are going to be him. They're going to be the first ones.
Well, I think to your point, that goes back to just prior to this happening, the washing, the foot washing, when the voice came from heaven, and Jesus said, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. When this voice comes out of heaven, I have glorified it. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine.
That's right.
And then he went on to show them what was going to fall upon them.
Right,
and they said, wash the feet. You said, this is how you roll.
Right.
But, you know, what we do is I think when people come visit our church or they visit our houses, a lot of times they'll come in and they're like, you know, I'm trying to find my calling from God or I'm trying to find my purpose. But I notice us three, we all do the same thing. No matter who shows up, no matter what they say or how they can be involved, we go back and start with Jesus.
Yep.
Because if there's no cleansing of Jesus, there's not going to be the calling is not going to work. What we're going to do so that we always go back and make sure people know Jesus, understand Jesus. Have and it's not like we're you know we used to call it like checking their conversion as a joke, but it's more in to make sure that
it's our baseline.
Yeah, we've got to focus in what we've said earlier on the whole reason we're studying the Book of John. There's got to be a focus on Jesus. Because he is the image of the invisible God. His perfect life, his love, his death on the cross, his resurrection is how God chose to get humanity, how he called humanity to him through Jesus. So when somebody comes, they may be confused or they may be, there's a difference in being religious and loving Jesus.
That's right.
So there's a lot of denominations, there's a lot of deceit. That's why I'm bringing this up. You want to make sure you're not a Judas. Or walking in the steps of Judas right beside Jesus and miss the whole thing.
That's right.
So we always start with Jesus. And I feel like if someone's offended, because I've started talking with someone with Jesus and they're like about Jesus and they're like, well, are you saying I'm not saved? And I'm like, no, I'm introducing you to Jesus. And they're like, oh, I know Jesus. But what I've noticed, most people that know and love Jesus, they don't mind you bringing him up. To make sure, I would never be offended.
Me you know? Either.
I tell you that story all the time. I met the pro golfer that was friends with Bubba. What was his name? Webb. I mean, the first time I met him, I walked up. I said, I'm Jace. He said, I'm Webb. I love Jesus. And I said, well, you're just the kind of guy I like to hang out with. I loved it. I mean, let's just get to it right off the bat.
That's right.
You know, I was impressed. Yeah. I didn't say, well, are you saying I don't? But I feel like religious people sometimes, it's like, are you saying you don't want to have a conversation? Because people have come to and they're like, I'm trying to figure out my calling. I'm like, well, let's make sure Jesus has cleansed you. Because I know one thing from this story alone, that's the first thing that's got to happen. Because he said, unless I wash you, you have no part with me.
And sometimes it's just a picture. A lot of our listeners, there was a young man Sunday that was at WFR, and I talked to him after we were done. And he's really tall. I can't remember your name because I know you're probably listening. But he asked me a great question about that. He said, you know, I work with people. I want to be, you know, an influencer. I love Jesus. And we get this question a lot, you know, and I said, well, first, you just got to be him in front of these people. Because it's like he works with a lot of rough and tumble guys and a lot of bad language. And it's the same things. And so he's like, how do I impact them to be like Christ? And I said, well, the first thing you have to do is remember, you are Jesus to them. So that means you got to just everything that you're leading you to do, you got to do it consistently in front of these guys. And that's how you start making a difference. And I said, look, you'll start picking them off. I told Trace the same thing. It's like somebody one day will ask you a question about peace because they'll notice you're different.
Yeah.
And when they do, that's your opening.
Al, people ask me all the time, you know, give me the five ways to, you know, give me four ideas to try to help win my friends. And I'm like, there's only one idea. His name's Jesus. Now, go read what he said, everywhere's red letters, and try to figure out how to relate who that is to them. There, the possibilities are endless having that.
And we were talking about language specifically, and I said, well, do you cuss in front of these guys? And he said, no, never. And I said, well, they've noticed that. And he said, well, you know, one time one of the older guys that was there, they were working on something, and they, you know, he's like dropping these words, and he looked around this guy, and he said, you know, it's all right to drop a few expletives in when you just can't get something done. And then another guy said, yeah, have you ever heard this guy say a cuss word? And the guy said, no.
And I was like, if it would have been me right then,
I said, there's your opening. When you hear something like that, they've noticed you're different. So now you got to tell them why.
They'll be like the old sound man that
I told him that story.
Corral me.
I told him. I said,
why don't you curse every once in a while? None of your family does, Mr. Robinson. What's behind all that? I said, you've asked a good question. I said, I'll tell you about that this afternoon. Well, I started with Jesus.
Right.
He falls back after he hears it and saying, he said something to the effect, I wondered why I ended up in Louisiana on this film shoot, but now I know why I came.
That's right.
He said, I've never heard that story before.
And really, that's been, you're right, Jace, that's kind of been our driving force our whole lives. And no, you get older, and people respect you, and then they come to you when you've done it consistently like you have. I mean, you've done it now since you were 28 to 74. Yep. Therefore, you have now gained confidence that people can say, well, if you go talk to that guy. So this family that was baptized Sunday, there was five of them, and here's what she told me. She said, you know, we've been wanting to get baptized, but, you know, COVID, people aren't baptizing people. And she said, but, you know, I heard that church where Phil Robertson is, they'll baptize anybody. And so I told the church that.
COVID or no COVID.
I said, that's the church you want to be. Well, the one that says, and again, not just baptism, but you want to be the one that says, you know what, I don't know if we got anywhere else to go, but they'll take you.
But you know what I think, Al, and we talked about this with the Just Thinking guy. There's just some things that when you're going to be a servant, you have to risk your life over. And because I'm not real worried about the coronavirus, I, out of respect, you know, I'll wear the mask,
sure,
and I'll follow the rules, whatever. But when I went out to Texas and basically got on my knee and became a servant to those kids.
Yep.
Because I, in our meet and greet, I talked to them, I listened to them, you know, we had fun. But now, if you'd asked me, do you want to do this? Well, no, it's duck season. I was tired. I don't want to go out there. But to me, I'm like, I'm going to go out here and serve these kids. And when they came in, they all had masks on. And I was like, is that for y'all or for me? And they didn't know what to do, but the person in charge said, well, that's for you. I said, oh, you can tell them to take it off. I said, I'll risk my life for these kids. But I said that in front of them because I wanted them to know they've been beat, whooped, abused, kicked around their whole life. I'm like, I'm out here, and I will risk getting the coronavirus to try to get y'all to heaven.
Yep.
And they're like, well, to us, no big deal, but to those kids, hey. Because they hadn't had anybody in life much who were caring for them, you know.
All right, well, we're out of time. It's really interesting. Next time we'll pick up. I got some. I want to get into this thing with Judas because he's going to play a big central role as well as Peter in the last part of this chapter. So, good stuff.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes, and don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube. And be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.